The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you don't believe the Creator exists, then it's important to know that if you die as an unbeliever, you will live for a very long time as an ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" We're going to look at that point in quite a lot of depth tonight. If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven?" Which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me they can be trusted in this life. So if you're a nominal believer and you're carrying on living your life thinking that something good's going to happen to you, maybe you should think again. It's context for all of this. The Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." The thread of this theme of this program, week after week, is to tell you that you can have a deep personal relationship with Father. And it's important to understand that if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus. Tonight, I've got a fairly controversial topic, two in fact. We're going to look at the horrors of death as an unbeliever, and we'll end off the discussion with regard to the lie of monogamy that we started last week. Both of these are difficult, and I'd ask you to hang in there and bear with me, and I'll try and make the important points of these two themes clear to you. Overview of today's program. We'll discuss the horrible fate that waits for unbelievers when they die. We'll discuss the harsh reality of being trapped in a coffin or a crematorium oven forever. As an alternative, we'll look at the possibility of haunting a family member or friend. We will note that there is grievous torture for being good. We will discover that if you're a moderately successful sinner, you will teach others how to sin. It will be pointed out that as a Satan servant, the unbeliever will be competing with 100 billion other demons. We will discuss how this came about and talk about the contest. It will be pointed out that the current millennium will end in 3003, at which point the unbelieving spirits will either be destroyed or stranded forever. We will then examine how you know that the Creator exists and that what I'm talking about is truth. We will then wrap up the discussion with regard to the lie of monogamy, prostitution, and pornography. We will talk about insecure and controlling women with hard hearts, and we'll note the influence of fairy tales, that is, demon tales. We will note that monogamy can be adopted as a conscious choice, and that the false doctrine of monogamy is sending more believers to hell than any other era. And then we will examine some questions relating to your relationship with your my creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I was a strategic management consultant in South Africa for 25 years. More recently, I've been a business executive. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March, 1993, when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that He was real. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email, articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. It's www.endtimeissueministries.org, all one word. Questions from last week's program. Wendy asked, how are we to know if a person is worthy of being with? Wendy, challenging and important question. The short answer is get close to Father, ask for signs, make absolutely sure it's the right person. Simplistically, as a woman, you need to make sure that the man is at least as close to Father as you are. And you must be able to see that in the way they live their lives and what they discuss, etc., not that they're just putting on an act to try and woo you. If you're a man, it's important to make sure that the woman is really committed and is also reasonably close to Father. She doesn't have to be as close as you are, but if she's not as close as you are, she needs to be willing to learn from you. Kathy asked, should a man take many women at once to marry? Kathy, no. A man could take more than one woman over time as each relationship settles in. As a general principle, when a man and woman join together, Father will give them a year free of war, free of service, in order to get to know each other and build a strong relationship. So as a general rule, there should be at least a year space between taking more than one woman. And that should only happen if the first woman is absolutely at peace with it. As I've discussed, most women can't handle it. Pam asked, is it okay for a woman to have more than one man at the same time? Pam, I have to disappoint you. The answer is no. Father's intention is to have only one man all your life. If you marry the wrong man and Father permits you to divorce, well, then you'll get a second shot at it. But you need to be very careful. And the advice I just gave to Wendy, make absolutely sure before you consummate that the man is suitable. Make sure that your covenant is strong. Make sure that you've agreed the terms of your covenant explicitly. Listen to the programs a few weeks ago, the podcasts, about preparing for marriage. There's a whole lot of material on the website as well. Mike asks, if you did not take the virginity of your wife, can you fix the situation? Mike, certainly you can. You need to make sure that the man who took your wife's virginity is not prepared to take her back. There's some guidelines on that a few weeks ago where I spoke about the things that happen in a sexual covenant between a man and a woman. There's some prayers there that you can pray. And also going back about 6 months or so, in the series on seven steps of drawing close to the Almighty, there's more information there, and there's a lot of information on the website as well. Jasmine asked, are you saying a woman is not worthy unless she's a virgin? Jasmine, I certainly would not use the term worthy. I'm saying that a woman is not available to marry unless she's a virgin or a widow or a truly divorced woman. Otherwise, you're committing adultery. The other point that I just addressed is that you need to make sure that for a man, he needs to make sure that the woman is a believer. And remember, I'm talking to believers here. If you're an unbeliever, none of this is of relevance. Jake asked or stated, you make it seem sex is a powerful thing. Jake, sex is the most powerful spiritual thing that a human being can engage in apart from relationship with the Almighty Creator. Sex is hugely powerful. A strong one-flesh bond is a powerful and wonderful thing if it occurs within a relationship between a man and woman who are in covenant before Yah, who are both believers. Father intended us to make love beautifully, wonderfully, passionately, considerately. He intended sex something beautiful, powerful. Francis says, it almost seems like women are being punished by having to share their man. Why is this one-sided? Francis, I'm going to say a bit more about this in a moment. It may look that way in this generation. Father had other ideas and other plans, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Wayne stated, humans are too jealous for this to happen with sharing. Wayne, for the most part, you're correct. Some people get it right, but the vast majority don't. I just want to come back to this thing about somehow women are getting the short straw when it comes to a man having more than one wife. I just want to make the statement that Yah was not confused when he created men and women so that more than one woman could covenant with one man. We've proven conclusively through my discussion of the hymen and virginity that Yah created men to be able to covenant with more than one woman. From various feedback I've received following last week's broadcast and that I've received over many years, the vast majority of people, and especially believing women, think that this is unjust and through the language that they use imply that Yah is confused and perverse. I suggest for your consideration that Yah had a perfect plan. This is evidenced by the reality that there are far more women than men on thrones in heaven today. So certainly Yah does not view women as inferior. The fact is that this generation is the most spiritually decrepit and confused that has ever lived. So we're not competent to pass judgment on something that was originally intended by Yah to be pure and beautiful. The fact that it is intended to be pure, beautiful, and powerful is evidenced by the extent that the forces of darkness have gone out of their way to corrupt and destroy it, but then use the spiritual principles that underpin it to give them power. Folks, this is so important. Where you find something that's all messed up and doesn't work and ugly, it's because the forces of darkness have made it that way by corrupting what Yah intended. So the more effort the forces of darkness have put into corrupting marriage and corrupting this thing of more than one woman with one man, the more you must understand that what was originally intended is beautiful and powerful. Right, I'm going to move on now, and we're going to look at the horrors of death as an unbeliever. What follows is really intended to scare unbelievers. The counterpoint to this is a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator, where the rewards are huge esteem, great authority, and great supernatural power. That is what we were created for, and it's available to every human being right now. This is the truth, and I say that after 27 years of seeking truth, after numerous long-term fasts seeking truth, and tens of thousands of hours seeking truth. If you do not have a deep, settled assurance of the reality of the Almighty Creator, such that you easily and without question can confess that He is real, then you are an unbeliever, even if you go to church every Sunday, and even if you believe in Jesus. If you die as an unbeliever, you're faced with a horrible future. This broadcast seeks to make visible what faces you unless you change your mind and make a solid commitment to the Almighty before you die. If you're a committed believer, the following is of academic interest, unless, like most believers, you have family, friends, or colleagues who are unbelievers, in which case you might like to share this with them. Part of my motivation in writing this is I have close friends and family who don't believe. And I've shared my faith in various ways, shared positive messages in various ways with no success. So this is intended to jolt them. I would rather broadcast this message and have them turn than have them die without knowing Father. So what happens when you die as an unbeliever? When an unbeliever dies, there's nowhere for their spirit to go. The Almighty intended unbelievers to be immediately destroyed. As a consequence of the contest with Satan, their spirits are now left alive to continue on earth as an ancestral spirit or demon, which is a horrible outcome. The following sections elaborate on this. The spirit of the unbeliever has no motive power. It requires a human being, an animal or a messenger, in other words, an angel, to transport it. Else it is stuck wherever it finds itself. At the same time, the spirit is fully conscious with all its faculties, sight, hearing, smell, thought, etc., intact. A horrible place to be. When an unbeliever dies, they're taken by their guardian messenger or guardian angel to the lake of fire and brimstone and told that they will be utterly destroyed there at the end of the millennium if Satan loses the contest, or they will remain on earth for eternity if Satan wins. They are also taken to heaven and shown where they would have gone if they had believed. They then return to their corpse or the remains of their corpse where various scenarios unfold. Let's look at one of those scenarios, in a coffin or oven forever. If the unbeliever does not feature in the plans of the satanic and demonic realm, essentially if they've been a good unbeliever, then they will be left with their corpse. What this means is that if they are buried, their spirit will be buried with them. Imagine what it will be like, trapped for nearly 1,000 years or forever, fully conscious, in a box with a rotting corpse, and after it is rotted, in a box with the remains. Not something I would want for anyone I value in life. If you are cremated, you will experience the unbearable heat of the oven as your body is totally consumed by fire, and you will then remain in the oven forever, exposed to every cycle of heating and cooling as corpse after corpse is cremated. Once the oven falls into disuse, you will remain in the disused oven, and if it is scrapped and demolished, you will end up wherever the rubble ends up, forever. Imagine what it will be like if you're drowned at sea, eaten by a shark, buried in a landslide, or whatever. Folks, this is the truth. It's taken me years to get to this point. You're not going to burn in hellfire for eternity. You're not going to even go to hell. You're just going to stay where you are, because Father didn't have any plans for there to be any unbelievers. His intention was to have people who would be his friends and do things with him. This is a consequence of everything that went wrong with the rebellion of Satan. Alternatively, you could end up haunting a family member or a friend. If the unbeliever is alert to their fate and has the opportunity for a loved one or friend to embrace their corpse in such a way that they can transfer to that person, they will have a different experience. They will be able to haunt that family member or friend for as long as that person is alive, and then again they will face burial, cremation, or whatever, together with that person's corpse. If the host is a believer or becomes a believer and undergoes deliverance, the unbelieving spirit may find itself banished to a place of detention for a period of time before being deployed on another person. So when I say haunting, what I'm saying is that the spirit of the unbeliever will be put on their child, on their wife, husband, friend, whoever. Because that's the only place they've got to go to escape the grave or the oven. Most of them don't know they've got to get off their corpse, so most of them don't do that. And then you're just going to ride around with that person, knowing what you know and not allowed to tell them. Can you imagine riding on your child, listening to all the lies they've believed, also an unbeliever, and you're unable to tell them the truth? That too has to be a horrible experience. I want to talk about grievous torture for being good. It is important to understand that as an ancestor spirit or demon, one is a member of the kingdom of Satan, a horrible, evil, and tormented kingdom where fear and horrible torment are the order of the day. If as a good person, the unbelieving spirit attempts to warn the person who is hosting them of the lies they believe and tries to get them to turn to the Creator, a satanic messenger or angel will immediately take them to a place of discipline where they will be subject to the most vile and horrible torment and torture until they clearly understand that it is not permissible under any circumstance to seek to do good as a demon. They will then be returned to their host. Folks, the demonic realm, the satanic realm, has one overriding objective: to make absolutely certain that by the end of the millennium, 3003, sometime roughly May, there is not a single committed believer who is in right standing with the Almighty in order to call for Yeshua, Jesus, to return. They will do everything they can to lead every possible human being into error, deception, and unbelief. So for a demon to try and lead their host to truth is absolutely intolerable, inconceivable, unacceptable, and they will beat you up in ways you can't imagine until you get the message that trying to share truth with your host is just not acceptable. If you're a moderately successful sinner, then you'll be enrolled to teach us your sin. If the unbelieving person was a moderately successful sinner, for example, they had strong pride or lust or fornication, then when they die, their spirit will be harvested by a satanic messenger or Satan servant, that's a witch or Satanist, etc., and taken to a place where they will receive schooling as a demon. Once adequately trained, they will be deployed, generally on a believer, to lead that person into deeper sin. The unbelieving spirit has no say in this, and if they resist, they will be sent for torture and re-education, as just mentioned. Folks, imagine this. You die. The satanic forces have concluded that you are a bit of a role model, whether it's in pride or lust or fornication or whatever. Religious lies, if you're a strong Jesus worshipper. They'll take you off and they'll put you in class. Remember that you have no motive power. You can't get up and walk out. They will sit you down in a lecture room of sorts, and they will then instruct you in what you have to do. And then they will take you and put you somewhere to lead somebody into error and greater sin. It could be your child, could be your spouse, could be your best friend, could be somebody you don't know. Their sole objective is to get that person into deeper sin. And that will be your job. And if you do the job half-heartedly, you'll probably end up getting punished. Remember that as a Satan servant, you will be competing with over 100 billion other demons for status and transport. If the unbeliever was a Satan servant and therefore has some rank in the kingdom of Satan, they will also be harvested They will go through the same process as described above, and they will then be put to work on living human Satan servants to help them progress and become more evil. Note that in order to qualify for your own messenger to transport them, they will be competing with a large number of demons, where only the most evil demons qualify for their own messenger. Remember that Satan and the forces of darkness can do nothing on earth except through a live human being. They are totally reliant on human Satan servants to give orders, pray prayers, go out and do things. If you are a significant Satan servant in this life, they will give you to a living Satan servant to help them become more powerful. Witch, warlock, Satanist, whatever. Crawling with demons, thousands of other demons on that same person, all competing for their attention. Folks, also not a pretty sight. And if in the process that I described just now you realize that you'd made a mistake, absolutely nothing you can do about it. So how did this come about? I've mentioned the contest at various times over the last year and a half. Surely the Creator did not intend things to be this way. Frankly, it happened by accident. The messenger, who's now known as Satan, the accuser, developed pride and rebelled against the Almighty. Before he was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone to be utterly destroyed, he challenged the Almighty to a contest, whereby he claimed that if he and his followers were given 7,000 years on earth with the human beings the Creator was about to create, he would corrupt mankind such that not a single human being would be in right standing with the Creator at the end of the 7,000 years. In other words, that every single human being would be a servant of Satan. We are now, as of April 2020, 6,017 years into this period. So just under 1,000 years to go. And Satan has been massively successful, way beyond anything that Father Yah anticipated. Yah created us to be his friends. He created us to enjoy this earth together with him. It's all gone horribly wrong. It's been corrupted. Instead, we have wars, disease, murder, rape, lies, pride, fornication. The whole world is a mess. And it's a mess because Satan is the mighty one, the God of this earth. And he and his demonic servants, the mighty, masterminds, are hell-bent, literally, on destroying mankind. It was agreed that if Satan accomplished this objective, then Satan and his followers would not be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, but would rule on earth for eternity, and the Creator would withdraw from earth. A consequence of this challenge was that instead of unbelievers being cast into the lake of fire and brimstone when they died in order to be utterly destroyed, they remain alive on earth until the end of the contest and on earth forever if Satan wins the contest as described above. What Satan did not realize was that if he won, the Creator would remove his universal spirit from the earth and all living things, plants and animals, would immediately die. So Satan would rule over a barren wasteland. So we now have the situation described previously, where unbelievers die and remain on earth, almost always in horrible circumstances. Folks, it's so important to understand, Father did not intend any of this. The reasons the reason that unbelievers stay as demons or ancestor spirits on earth is because Father didn't expect them to exist. He didn't make any provision for them. So they just died, and there was nowhere for them to go. They were supposed, if they'd ever existed in Father's plans, they would have been immediately destroyed in the lake of fire and brimstone. But the fundamental plan was that there wouldn't be any unbelievers. That was not part of Father's intention. So we look to the end of the millennium, 3003, for the ancestor spirits, for the unbelieving, the spirits of unbelievers, either destroyed or stranded forever. As just noted, at the end of the millennium, currently understood to be around May 3003, that's 983 years from now, the final judgment will come. If there is at least one believer in right standing with Yah to call for judgment and for Yahshua to return, then Yahshua will return, and Satan and all his messengers, demons and unbelievers alive at that time will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and utterly destroyed. And earth will remain intact as a holiday destination for people in heaven. If Satan wins, Yah, the Creator, will withdraw from earth, and all living things, plant and animal, will die, leaving the vast majority of the demons stranded with the corpses of their hosts for eternity, while Satan and his servants compete and fight over control of the earth forever and ever, seeing as how they cannot kill one another. A really horrible way to spend eternity. This is in stark contrast to the glory of heaven that will be experienced by true believers when they die. They will be given glorious resurrected bodies, and depending on their standing with the Creator at the moment of death, various levels of esteem, power, and authority. Folks, I want to just focus on that last point for a moment. None of this has to happen to you or to your family or your friends. You can qualify to be in heaven with Yah. You can qualify for the most wonderful future. Why hold on? Why put this behind you? It's time to believe. It's time to choose to seek Father. So how do you know the Creator exists and that the above is truth? Actually, establishing that the Creator exists is reasonably straightforward. Number one, examine all the things around you, the natural things around you, and recognize that everything that is created by humans requires engineering and creative human genius. Then recognize that everything else also required creative genius. So there must be a Creator. Secondly, also look at sexual reproduction. Barring the most primitive life forms, all plants and animals reproduce sexually using DNA in a sophisticated multi-step process. This cannot have come into existence in a random way. It has to be the consequence of a very sophisticated, engineered, creative process. Look at all the flowers, the berries, the fruits and nuts, each perfectly formed, with lovely fragrances and appealing flavors. All elements of sexual reproduction. The male and female organs had to be perfectly formed from the start. So there has to be a Creator. Where he came from is more challenging, but he says he's always existed. And that is no more difficult to believe than to believe that nature created the universe and everything in it. I therefore submit that it is clearly evident that there is a Creator and that he requires us to believe in his existence. The fundamental commandment of life is to believe in the Creator. Else, as an unbeliever, one will face the destiny scenarios discussed above. Folks, when you put aside all the gobbledygook that is spouted by religious Bible punches, that doesn't make any sense, that is actually really not practical, not valid, not real, which is what most unbelievers object to. And you get down to the truth, the fundamentals, there's absolutely no reason not to believe. I urge you to contact me, go to the website. There's a huge amount of information. Not answers to every question, but certainly answers to a lot of questions. So that's the end of the topic. I want to return to finish off the discussion of the lie of monogamy from last week. And I again recognize that this is very controversial, very difficult. I want to reiterate what I said at the beginning of this message. Folks, the fact that marriage is such a mess is because marriage is so important in Yah's plan. Marriage is intended to be powerful, beautiful. Don't look at what I'm talking about and get fussed and misled and misdirected by looking at what won't work in this generation. Hear what I have to say in terms of what the original intention was. You may not be able to get back to the original intention in your life, but don't take wrong decisions, go down wrong roads, because it's all messed up. Get as close to the getting back to the truth as you possibly can. So I want to suggest for your consideration that monogamy is the spirit behind prostitution and pornography. It is vital to understand that the lie of monogamy is directly associated with prostitution and pornography. If you go back in history, this started primarily with the Roman Empire, round about the time of Yeshua, is the first time that monogamy was actively practiced. And at that time, you started to see prostitution, pornography, etc., and it's been like that ever since. Many men have the sexual capacity and the desire to satisfy and cover more than one woman. And most women do not have the sexual desire to fully satisfy their man. As a consequence, many men turn to pornography or prostitution to release their sexual tension. Once they do this, they open themselves to massive demonic infestation through transferred spirits, unclean one flesh bonds and soul ties, misplaced love, salt covenants with Satan, etc., etc. These in turn open them up for Satanist witches and other servants of Satan to use these connections to destroy servants of Yah, tear down their ministries, destroy their marriages, etc. Fundamentally, Yah did not create men to be monogamous, and therefore it is a reality that many men forced into monogamy will at some stage fall into prostitution, pornography, extramarital affairs, or other abominations. Consider Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein as examples of corrupt behavior resulting from the lie of monogamy. I want to talk about insecure and controlling women with hard hearts. One of the major consequences of the false doctrine of monogamy is that women who are servants of Yah and who are in covenant with a man are threatened by single women because they fear losing their man, particularly since there are so few men believers compared to women believers. They accuse the single woman of being manipulative for desiring a covering when they could be inviting the single woman to accept the covering of their man, which would be the natural response in a society in which plural marriage was the norm. Many years ago, as I was learning about this, Father led me to meet a Muslim woman who had done a master's degree on the subject of plural marriages. And she shared something very interesting with me. The Muslim rule is a maximum of four wives. And she said to me, in families with the Almighty Allah, Yah, was first, these marriages with four wives worked very well. And in marriages where their family was not serving the Almighty, it was a total mess. That's in a society which believes in plural marriage. One must also not ignore, and again, this is controversial, but please just bear with me. Do not ignore the fact that in a marriage or a union, covenant union with more than one, sexual love making between the woman is entirely permissible and is potentially very powerful and fills a need that many women have that they don't recognize. That is just one element of searching back to understand how this is really intended to be. I want to talk about fairy tales, remembering that a fairy is a demon. So there are fairy tales or demon tales that champion monogamy. Monogamy is embedded in Western Christian society through fairy tales such as Snow White, Cinderella, and Sleeping Beauty, as well as with toys like Barbie and Ken, etc. All of these role models present a perfect world as being made up of a perfect monogamous couple. There is one man that is ideally suited to that one woman, and that woman is ideally suited to that man. And so our society chases that myth, chases that illusion, when in actual fact, any man and any woman who are both believers, who make a quality decision to build a covenant relationship together, can succeed. It's easier if they are well suited, but even if they're not well suited, it can work. People happily refer to these things as fairy tales, and they refer to a fairy tale romance, not realizing that fairies are demons. These are demon tales. 1 Timothy 4:1 refers to monogamy as a doctrine of devils. The impact of early childhood programming associated with monogamy is that any woman who's brought up in societies where these beliefs are dominant has a huge negative reaction to the idea of sharing her man, such that any single woman is perceived as a threat. Folks, I'm not telling you if you're a man to get more than one wife, and woman, I'm not telling your man to get more than one wife. If you both agree to it willingly and without duress, so be it. But otherwise, it's probably not going to work, and you probably shouldn't attempt it. So let me state that monogamy as a conscious choice is an option. Notwithstanding all that has been said, it is a reality today that plural marriage is to all intents and purposes impossible to make work today in most societies, and so it is necessary to choose to enter into a monogamous union, recognizing the constraints, and thereafter choose to operate within those constraints. In doing so, it's vital to avoid putting unrighteous judgments on others because they're not programmed by Yah in terms of monogamy, and also to have compassion on those who are disadvantaged and prejudiced by the lies associated with monogamy. Father has said that the false doctrine of monogamy is sending more believers to time in hell for adultery than any other sin. Because of the complexities of one flesh bonds, soul ties, etc., it is so that Yah has said to me that the false doctrine of monogamy sends more believers to hell for adultery than any other false doctrine of man causes people to break the Ten Commandments. So in conclusion, I want to say that the truth about the way Yah intended men and women to covenant are challenging in today's society, but it's vital to understand them in order to conduct ourselves appropriately within the social context in which we find ourselves. In particular, it's important to understand that if you consummate a marriage relationship and do not agree to monogamy, the default terms are polygyny, plural marriage. You need to be very careful about that. So, in closing, I want to ask you to consider the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. If you've been listening to me as an unbeliever and you are offended by what I've shared with you about what I say happens to unbelievers when they die, I ask you to rethink what's going on in your head right now. Yah's intention is for you to have a deep personal relationship with him, for you to graduate on death to a high throne in heaven for eternity with a massively powerful supernatural body, a glorious body, great authority, great responsibility, great prestige and esteem. That's available to every human being on the planet today if you'll just do the hard work that's necessary to get you there. You don't have to end up with a rotting corpse in a grave forever. You don't have to end up stranded on your corpse on planet Earth. You don't have to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone to be painfully and utterly destroyed. You can build a deep personal relationship with Father if you choose, if you're prepared to make the effort. I'd like to refer you to five key documents, their main web menu web pages. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship, songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Where will you spend eternity? What's required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? All of this available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recording nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page and subpages, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. Folks, there's a wealth of information there. There's a set of 15 books available for download near the bottom of the website, webpage, the homepage, menu. About 9,000 pages, huge amount of information. All that information is also on the website, over web pages. Huge amount of information to help you to get going quickly. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know. We can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect you again with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. I would like to invite you to work with me to make a way for Yahshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium. Folks, there's a huge amount of work to be done. I would love there to be millions of people who are friends of Yah by the end of the millennium. I would like to see this world turned on its head. I would like to see belief in Yah become dominant. I would like to see people walking in the power of the Spirit of Yah, leading and guiding and directing this world. I would like wars defeated. I would like to see sickness and illness defeated. The way to do that is for you right now to choose to become a friend of the Almighty Creator. It's going to take you a few years to get there. The material you need to get there is on the website. I'm available to talk to you on Skype or Zoom or by email or telephone. I pray that you will do it. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand, just because you love me, I know.